wondering if I had any purpose at all, wondering if coming to Denver was a mistake, wondering if my whole life was a mistake. But this woman brings something worth experiencing to the table. Her background is mysterious and seductive. Her small, curvy body is tantalizing, and the things she can do with her mouth, overwhelmingly entertaining. I say, just so you understand, the kind of sexual ride I like to take comes with a dark underbelly. I like to lose control a little. I like to walk the edge. I like to push the limits and create havoc. She stares up at me, blank. Then a coy smile creeps across her face. A smirk, like she knows things. She says, breaking the rules, "Is that a warning, Special Agent Murphy? Take it any way you want. I'm just letting you know. There's no point to pleasure without a little panic."
Chapter 5. Izzy. So you're what? An adrenaline freak? A risk taker? You thrive on fight-or-flight options? You like stormy waters and calm winds drive you crazy? Don't psychoanalyze me. And stop talking. Hey, you're the one who opened up this whole line of questioning. I'm acutely aware that I'm standing in front of him wearing sexy stockings and pretty much nothing else. I'm also acutely aware that his cock is spilling out of his open zipper, hard and straight, the tip red and swollen from me sucking on it and glistening in the dim light coming in from my front windows. And you're obviously worried about the kind of freak flag you fly because you figure I deserve a warning before we go any further. Is that about right? His eye twitches. Most people would miss it. I'm not most people. Warning heard, challenge accepted, and hey, I say, shrugging. It's just a game anyway. This time he cocks his head a little, like he's confused.
Is that what this is?
Oh, come on, I laugh. I mean, yeah. So let's just...
Wait,
he says, one hand in the air like he's about to stop time.
Are you fucking with me right now? Why are you doing this?
Doing what?
Why did you invite me in? Why did you allow me to take off your clothes? Why did you suck my cock?
Look, I'm not much of a talker, okay? Let's just fuck to ease the tension a little, then you can take me wherever it is you're gonna take me. I mean, it's getting late. Can we just get this show on the road? He laughs.
What the fuck?
Exactly, I interrupt. What the fuck? Are we gonna do this or not?
Do what?
I sigh. It's a loud, thoroughly annoyed sigh. Are we going to fuck? He stares at me for one more second, then grabs my shoulders, spins me around, and pushes me face first against the wall as he leans into my neck and whispers,
"Just remember, you were warned."
I whisper back, "There's no point to pleasure without a little panic. Right?" One hand is between my legs before I even stop talking, his fingers probing my pussy, searching for the sweet spot. And when he finds it, I close my eyes and relax. I'm gonna enjoy this. I do not give a fuck who he is. In fact, I doubt he's even an FBI agent. He's an actor, right? This whole game is nothing but an act. And I need this fuck, like right now, so I can forget about the dry spell I've been in. So I can come, get it over with, and then be at my best when he finally takes me to the club to fulfill my sexual fantasy. That thought alone is enough to make me moan. But when you add in the fact that his fingers are now pushing up inside me, yes, I say, yes. He keeps quiet, which is perfect, because I've had enough conversation for the night. All I want now is action. He presses his hard cock into my back.
You're small, he says, noting, like I do, that there's no way he's gonna be able to fuck me from behind standing up.
I'm too short. This has always been a problem for me. Kinda sucks, too. I mean, even on my tiptoes, his cock will still be inches too high to enter me like this. He lifts up one of my legs, improvising, because he gains entrance to my pussy and puts me off balance, so I have to rely on leaning into his arm, which is pressed firmly against the wall on the side of my head. But then he goes one step further, lifts me up, off my feet completely, pushing my face into the wall to keep me in position, and his cock slides inside me without resistance. Clever, clever, Finn Murphy. I'm gonna kiss Chella tomorrow. I mean, yeah, I put up a fight over this stupid game of Jordan's, but hell, it's like having someone take care of your most intimate needs. It's kinda perfect. Finn nips the tender skin behind my ear, his mouth soft, his breath hot. He says, "You like that?" just as he presses his hips into mine, pushing his cock fully inside. God, yes, I say back. More. Fuck me harder. Faster. I need it. He chuckles as he takes his kisses to my shoulder, and then he lifts up both legs, making me steady myself with palms flat against the wall, and starts the pounding. I have never been fucked like this in my life. His balls are slapping against my pussy with each determined thrust. His big fat cock is buried deep inside me one moment, but with each backwards motion he withdraws almost completely, making me feel empty, making me crave him for those few seconds when he's not stretching me open, making me long for the friction that will bring me to climax.
Brace yourself,
he says, changing position slightly so his hips are almost underneath me, so my top half is crushed against the wall and my bottom half is practically sitting on his cock. He buries himself even deeper inside me, so deep I let out a gasp from the pain.
Shh, he says, it's not time to panic yet.
I agree. That wasn't a cry of panic. It was a cry of pleasure. He's thrusting upwards now, my ass directly above his thighs as he fucks me hard, harder than I've ever been fucked before. His breath is quick and loud, and he's grunting in a low, throaty way that makes me close my eyes and just disappear into the ecstasy of the moment. Yes, I say again.
Your stockings are so fucking sexy.
No talking, I say, reaching around to grab a fistful of his hair. He doesn't respond, at least with words, but he does stop fucking me. I peek over my shoulder. Don't even think about it, I say.
What?
He asks, and I catch a glimpse of a charming, boyish smile appearing on his face.
If I stop, what? What will you do, Izzy Gray?
He leans in to bite the outer edge of my ear, which drives me wild, like sends a shiver through my entire body.
Will you kick me out?
No, I say, nearly breathless. I guess I'd have to just submit and do what you want.
Why?
He asks.
Because I've given you a taste of my magic cock, and now you realize you can't live without it.
It's a joke, and normally I'd banter back with him, have a few laughs, but I'm not in the mood for laughing. I just want to come. So I say, yes, instead. Yes, I need your cock, Special Agent Murphy. I need all of it. I need... He pounds me. He fucks me so hard my cheek crashes into the wall with each forward thrust. My legs are trembling, the muscles tired of the exertion of keeping myself balanced on top of him. My arms are shaking too, exhausted from the effort of stabilizing my body as I'm fucked from behind, completely lifted off my feet. His large hands are gripping my thighs, and I feel his fingers digging into my flesh, tearing at my expensive stockings, ripping them so he can slide his fingers under the silky nylon and feel my skin. And then he lets go of one leg, which puts me completely off balance again. I'm about to protest because my body is spent, my muscles taxed to their limit. But that's when his fingers find my clit. He begins to rub me, back and forth, so quick I want to die. Oh shit! I manage to squeak out just as the warm liquid spills out of me and I squirt all over his fingers. That's it. I come. I come so hard my whole body begins to convulse. Sounds escape my mouth that defy description. Moans and squeals and shouts of, fuck yes, don't stop! And more, more, more. He slows his thrusts until there's nothing left of me. Until I disappear. Until I cease to exist in any world other than the one of post-coital afterglow. And then he drops my other leg, pulls out, presses his large hand between my shoulder blades, and pushes me to the floor. I bend low, my head pressed into the hardwood floor of my foyer, my ass high up in the air as my fingers find my clit and begin to rub. He spills his cum all over my back, the heat of it making me climax again. His moans match mine, low growls of satisfaction. Then he bends down, uses my blouse to wipe off his cum, and gathers me up in his arms. He carries me across the room. I don't even open my eyes to see where. Can't open my eyes to see where. But then he sinks into my couch, me in his lap, and relaxes back into the cushions.
That was fun,
he says, nearly gasping for breath.
But we've got somewhere to be, so.
He slaps my thigh, hard, hard enough to make me cry out from the surprise and pain.
So let's clean up and get on the road.
I don't wanna, I say, turning into his chest, burying my face in the crook of his neck.
You're not in charge anymore, Ms. Gray. I am.
How long? I ask.
How long what?
He says. His voice is low, but not throaty like it was a few minutes ago. It's soft and calm and completely devoid of panic. How long will you stay with me? Just tonight? It might come off a tiny bit desperate, but fuck it. If you can't be needy in the wake of this kind of sex, when can you?
What do you mean?
He asks. The game, I say. I'm so fucking sleepy right now. Can we just enjoy this and finish the game tomorrow night instead?
What?
I open my eyes, sit up a little so I can look at his face. Are you gonna make me spell it out?
Spell what out?
The game, I say, getting very irritated. You know, the one we're fucking playing right now? He cocks his head at me.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, I get it, I laugh. You're not gonna break character. Okay, whatever. So, you got a place in mind for tonight? I mean, if this is my one chance, I gotta take it, right? So I really hope you've got this all figured out and I don't have to make decisions because that was kind of the whole point in playing. He pushes me away from him, leans back in the cushions even further and stares at me, hard.
You mean the safe house? How the fuck?
What? Safe house? What the fuck are you talking about?
The safe house. I'm supposed to take you to the safe house in Silver Springs.
Why the fuck would I need to go to a safe house? He laughs.
Because you were involved in a drug bust tonight that resulted in you being questioned down at the federal building. Not to mention the terrorist connection that came in afterward.
This is... I'm so confused. This is part of the game?
What fucking game? I have no clue what you're talking about.
The game, I yell. The fucking game. The one I asked to play. Well, I didn't ask to play. Chella made the arrangements. Jordan's game.
Jordan, your lawyer?
Yes.
Why are you playing a game with your lawyer?
I'm not. He's... But I realize I signed a confidentiality agreement with a lawyer who probably takes shit like that very seriously.
He's what?
Finn asks, and he sounds kinda pissed. I can't say anymore.
Why not?
He bellows. Because I told you. I signed an NDA earlier tonight so we could talk about it.
Who could talk about what?
His tone is angry now, like I'm really starting to piss him off. Is this part of the game or not? I say, suddenly feeling lied to.
I don't know what fucking game you're talking about, Izzy. None of what you're saying right now makes a bit of sense. Are you trying to tell me you just fucked me based on a misunderstanding?
Is that what you're telling me? I yell. He inhales, deeply, exhales, loudly.
Okay, we're talking in circles.
All I need to know is if you're playing or not. And I get it. You have to, like, maintain the illusion, right? To make it feel real or whatever. But seriously, dude, I need to know what the fuck is happening, because I just let you fuck me.
Let me?
He laughs.
You practically begged me.
I get up out of his lap, walk over to my front closet, pull out a trench coat, slip it on, and tie the belt securely around my waist. Get out! I point to the door when I say it. He sits on my couch, zipper open, half-hard cock still spilling out of it, looks me in the eye, and says,
No fucking way. I'm not leaving until you tell me what the fuck is going on.
I just did. And if you want to play, fine. But I'm quitting this game right now unless you let me know why you're here. All I need is a wink, okay? You can keep in character or whatever, just give me a signal. And if you can't do that, then you need to get the fuck out of my house or I'll throw you out myself. He opens his mouth to respond, and I can just tell whatever it is he's going to respond with won't be something I want to hear. So I cut him off and say, And if you have any doubts that I'm capable of throwing you out, Special Agent Finn Murphy, if that's even your real name, then consider this a warning. I'm ranked as a 7th-degree black belt in jiu-jitsu. I can take down men twice your size in 4 moves. He huffs some air, like as if. But I don't mind. I like being underestimated. So I finish with, Just try me, asshole.
Chapter 6. Finn. Okay. This is weird. And all the ways it's weird are ticking off in my head one by one. She thinks we're playing a game? And from what I can tell, it has something to do with her lawyer? Get out, she repeats. Just, I hold up one finger. Give me a second, okay? I need to think things through. What's to think through? I asked a very simple question that can be answered with one word, yes or no. Right. But she said something about me staying in character. She thinks this was a setup? Does she think the entire night was a setup? Like the search warrant and the FBI interrogation and the demand to take her to a safe house? And if so... Do I play along to get her in my protective custody, or do I give it to her straight and risk the whole terrorist thing crashing down on top of her? Well, that's a no-brainer. So I wink at her. She recoils a little, tilting her head. I take it one step further. I have no idea what you're talking about. Wink. She opens her mouth to say something, then decides not to. But I do have a place in mind for us tonight. Wink. She squints her eyes at me, like maybe she didn't catch the wink. I decide it might be too dark in here to actually see it properly, so I get up, tuck my dick away, zip my pants, but leave them unbuttoned, and walk over to her, hands in the air, like I surrender. I need to take care of you tonight, Izzy. It's my job. Wink. So just grab a few things, stuff them into a bag, and let's go. Wink. Where are we going? It's a secret, I say, smiling. You'll know when you get there. Is it safe? Safe? I almost laugh. Because it's a safe house, right? But whatever it is she thinks we're doing tonight, it's got nothing to do with a safe house. What does she think we're doing tonight? Of course it's safe. I just told you. I'm here to take care of you. It was practically an order, so come on, it's getting late. We need to get a move on. I need to be back by 5 a.m. I have a seminar tomorrow at noon, and I want to get there early. She's not going anywhere in the morning, but I just nod and say, then let's get this show on the road, echoing her words earlier. She stares at me for a few more seconds, and if I'm reading her correctly, I think it's because she's scared. Not about the terrorist cell who decided to use her company as a front like she should be, but of me. And I don't like that. I mean, I can be a scary guy, but not to innocent women. And after all that had just happened since we got to her house, if there's one thing I'm certain of, it's that Izzy Gray has nothing to do with whatever threat Declan was talking about earlier. She's just collateral damage. So I say, Izzy, and offer her my outstretched hand. Trust me. I promise I'm not going to hurt you. Which makes her snort and then laugh. You can't hurt me. I can think up a million ways to hurt a woman, even a capable woman like Izzy, and none of it involves violence. You can't jujitsu your way out of emotional damage. It doesn't even matter if I can or can't, Izzy, I'm not going to. So pack a bag and let's go. She holds her position for 5 more seconds. I know, I count them. And then she gives me a slight nod and walks upstairs to what is most likely her bedroom. Quickly, I call after her. We're wasting time. I put myself back together while I wait, tuck in my shirt, button my pants, and then I walk around her house and look at stuff in the moonlight. I don't want to turn on a light, just in case anyone is outside watching. I didn't see a tail when we drove over here, and I was checking, but you can't be too careful. I find 3 things of note. 1, an award. It's a little gold-colored statue of a microphone. The plaque on the base says Empowerment Speakers Award and has her name in fancy calligraphy underneath. 2, an old family photo. A very small Izzy with an older man who might be her grandfather. They're holding hands, eating ice cream cones, sitting on a front stoop, looking pretty happy. 3, a framed front cover from the Pan American Jiu-Jitsu magazine with Izzy Gray's face front and center. The headline across the picture is blacked out with a marker, which makes me wish this wasn't just the cover, but the entire article, so I could read more about her. I take that off the wall and study it. She looks young. Like, young. I don't know a lot about martial arts. It was never my thing. But I do know that there are age requirements for black belts. She's holding a gold medal, smiling since she obviously won some very important competition. What are you doing? I turn to find Izzy standing at the top of the stairs wearing a fresh blouse, holding a bag. This was a big deal, huh? I hold the frame out in her direction. Yes, she says, slowly descending the stairs, eyes trained on me. And that's very meaningful to me, so please put it back where you found it. Sure, I say, feeling chastised. I hang the frame back on the wall and turn to face her. Neither of us speak. I'm ready, she finally says, breaking the awkward silence. Right, I say. Let's go. I wave her forward towards the door, but she shakes her head and juts her chin out. You first, she says. Which is weird, but then again, this whole fucking night has been weird. Sure, I say, walking to the door and opening it up. But when I look over my shoulder, she still hasn't moved. Izzy? You coming? She stares at me. The seconds tick off. I start to feel uncomfortable, like she's on to me. She knows I'm not a player in whatever game this is she's playing. But just when I'm about to open my mouth and try to explain, she steps forward, and I relax. Where are we going? She asks. Silver Springs, I say. What? That's like 2 hours away. Shit, is it? I have no idea where Silver Springs is. Fucking Declan was supposed to text me the address, so I check my phone, find the missed message, then press the Maps app to get directions. How will I ever get back in time for masterclass prep tomorrow? What does she think is happening tonight? It's fucking killing me. But I can't ask, so I lie. What we're doing in Silver Springs won't take long, don't worry. You can sleep on the way there and the way back. I'll keep you safe. You keep saying that, Izzy says. But I don't need your protection, Finn. I need... But she stops. She was just about to tell me what she needs and... God damn it. I really hate this game we're playing. You need what? I prompt her, hopeful. I need what was promised, she says. Why? I ask. Because asking what was promised feels like the wrong move. You don't need to know why, she says, walking over to the framed magazine cover to straighten it out on the wall. She turns to me. You just need to deliver. Deliver. Okay. Shall we? I ask, standing just outside the door. Sure, she says, and joins me on the front stoop, stopping to lock her door from the outside. I take her bag, which is pretty light, and that impresses me. I appreciate a light packer, and stick it in the trunk, then open the passenger side door and wave her in. Rules say no civilians in the front, she says. I'm gonna bend the rules tonight for you, Izzy. I don't like the idea of you riding in the back. Why? Why are you so suspicious of me all of a sudden? I mean, we just had a good time. What's up? You're just acting weird. But she gets in the front seat. So I close her door, walk around the car, and get in my side. It is kinda weird, right? I start the car, check the directions on my phone, and then pull away from the curb as she thinks about that. I mean, don't you think this is weird? Which part? She says. What I asked for? Or that I let you fuck me? Let me? I ask again. Begged me, Izzy. Whatever, she says, waving her hand in the air. I never beg. I just take what I want. But I catch a small smile out of the corner of my eye. So no, not too weird, I lie. Just a little weird? She asks, still smiling. It's not a strange request. I looked it up. You did? I ask. Fuck. I'm dying to know what she thinks we're doing tonight. Yes. I found a study online that cited almost 8% of the female population fantasizes about it. I almost stop the car. Like my foot taps the brake and we both jerk forward before I realize what I'm doing and correct. What the fuck was that? Izzy asks. There was a cat running across the road. I didn't want to hit it. Did she imply what I think she implied? Are we playing a sex game? Is this a big place? She asks in my ensuing silence. Nope. I lie again. Well, is it really a lie if there's no place? I mean, we are going somewhere, but the safe house in Silver Springs is obviously not what she's fantasizing about. How many people? She asks. And when I look over at her, she's biting her lip like she's nervous. Fuck. I have nothing for that. You'll see, I say, getting onto the I-70 freeway that will take us up into the mountains. Are you curious? She asks. Very, I laugh. About which part? I mean, I know we're not supposed to talk about this, or it'll ruin the illusion, but I'm sort of nervous and I can't help it. Jesus Christ, pull yourself together, Fenn Murphy. You're a goddamned FBI agent. You're a motherfucking force to be reckoned with. This woman has you totally off your game. Step the fuck up and play. I heed the internal monologue and collect myself. I'm curious about the whole thing, honestly. Because it's weird? I thought we already decided it was normal. It is normal. Well, it's normal to fantasize about it. I'm not sure how many women actually go through with it, so that's a little bit unusual. But you know what they say? What do they say? I'm dying, fucking dying to know what they say. You must make a choice to take a chance, or your life will never change. Who said that? I ask. Zig Ziglar, she replies. One of my motivational heroes. Ah. Okay, I like this topic far better than the fantasy sex game we're not playing. So I take the opportunity to switch the subject. Is he the guy who got you interested in motivational speaking? Yep. His book saved my life. You mean, like, literally? You were what, on the edge of suicide and then you stumbled onto his words and you decided to give it all another go? No, dumbass. I mean, I was at rock bottom, not ready to off myself. That's all. Define rock bottom. No, again, she growls. It's none of your business. Do you tell your students about your rock bottom? Why? I'm just curious. I find you kind of fascinating. Because I'm in this game and I don't look like the kind of woman who'd want to play? Well, yeah. I tell some stuff, she admits. Not all of it, of course. Why, of course? I mean, of course implies that missing stuff is too private to talk about, or too weird to talk about, or too painful to talk about. So which one is it? You have to pay to hear that answer. That's my livelihood. I smile, picturing myself at one of her women's empowerment seminars. Can I come tomorrow? No. Why not? Because I'm a man? That's not why. It's just full. I have a waiting list, 6 months long. You're pretty popular, I say. Very popular. How much research did you do on me before today? None, I admit. Because it would be stupid to lie about that. I really don't know anything about her. He had to have been planning this for a while. Couple weeks at least to come up with such an elaborate setup. Fucking Cella. She must have given him a heads up a while back and they put this all together. But then she laughs. I do admit, it was a pretty good scam. Which part? The whole FBI thing. The raid or whatever? Like, he must have a lot of connections to pull something like this off, right? You know him well? Who? I ask. She shakes her head, turns toward the window to hide her smile. Fine, I get it. Gotta keep up the illusion. I mean, obviously Cella is paying for this, so I'd feel bad if she didn't get her money's worth. Holy fucking shit. This is a business. I have a pretty good idea who she's talking about. I don't know who this Cella person is, but the who in all this, the mastermind, if you will, must be her lawyer, Jordan Wells. I make a mental note to look that asshole up as soon as we're at the safe house. Could be the break I've been looking for. I mean, Izzy just said it herself. He must have some kind of power to set all this up. Except, it wasn't a setup. The raid was real, the handcuffs were real, the interrogation, the safe house, all real. I wonder if Declan knows anything about this Wells guy. I make another mental note to ask him. Hello, Finn? What? I say, snapping back to the present. I said, do you mind if I just close my eyes and sleep a little? I want to be rested for what's coming. What's coming? No, go ahead, I say. We've still got a ways to go before we get there. I want you rested, too. And then I wink. One more time to cement the illusion, to keep her in the fantasy. I need this time to come up with a plan because Izzy Gray is going to be one sexually frustrated deviant when we get to the Silver Spring safe house. And there's no telling how she might react to the truth.
Chapter 7. Izzy.
Izzy.
I wake up to a man's attractive hazel eyes staring down at me, and for a second I can't figure out who he is, where I'm at, or what the fuck is going on.
We're here.
But the panic fades as his face comes into focus. Special Agent Finn Murphy. Jordan Wells. The game. My night. I rub the sleep out of my eyes before I remember I'm wearing makeup and stop. Where? I mumble out, still waking up.
Silver Springs, remember?
I squint my eyes and stare out the window, but it's total darkness. I can't see shit. Is this the club? I ask.
Yep. Come on, we should get inside.
He opens his door, gets out, and walks around the front of the car to open mine. Suddenly, my heart is beating faster, my body is flushed with heat, and I'm nervous. Finn offers me his hand.
Come on, it's cold out here. Let's get inside.
I get out, more from habit than anything, and he closes the door behind me and waves me forward towards... A house? I say. Where are all the other cars?
What cars?
The cars, I say. You know, that all the people come in. Hasn't it started yet? I check my watch. It's after midnight now.
They'll be here soon. You're supposed to come in first.
Oh, I say, taking a deep breath to try to get my rapid breathing under control.
Don't trip.
Finn says, grabbing hold of my arm and leading me forward. I do trip, like, immediately, because the stone pathway leading up to the dark house is uneven, just like the one at my house back in Denver, so I don't pull away. We stop at the front door, which is apparently locked with an electronic keypad, because Finn punches in a sequence of numbers and the door beeps. He swings the door open to reveal more darkness.
Go on, he says, encouraging me. We gotta hurry before people start arriving. You want to be ready, don't you?
Yes, I whisper. But this whole thing is creepy as fuck. I really hope Chella knows what she's doing and Jordan is trustworthy. I mean, the guy's a lawyer, so you'd assume. But then again, there's a million low-life lawyer jokes for a reason, right? You can't trust them. What the hell was I thinking? He closes the door, eliminating the hazy moonlight leaking in from outside, and the entire place is pitch-black darkness. I hold my breath, convinced this whole thing was a setup, and he's really here to... Stop it, Izzy. I take 7 quick breaths, then 3 long ones. The same technique I've been using to calm myself down for the better part of a decade, and say, what's going on?
What do you mean?
He says, flicking a switch to illuminate the room. Which is a living room, and not a well-decorated one either. What the hell? I ask, spinning around to see his face. This cannot be the place. He shrugs as he punches in a sequence of numbers on the door again, this time locking me in. I don't ask any more questions. I just react.
Chapter 8. Finn. Her foot catches me in the mouth, then a fist chops me in the throat. I'm going down on the ground, gasping for breath in the span of 3 seconds. 1 second later, the lights go off, and the darkness envelops us. What the? I gasp out, just as I hear something crash across the room. And I don't get to finish, because she's got something pressed against my throat. A stick or a bat or... You better start talking right now, Finn Murphy, or whoever the fuck you are, or I'm gonna break your windpipe with this fire poker. My body instinctively twists, unbalancing her, and the next moment, I've got her on her back, and I throw the poker. It crashes against a wall. There's like half a second when I think I've got her pinned and now I'm on top, but she gets a hand free and jabs me in the eye. I can't help it. I let go of her other hand and she clocks me, hard, right in the jaw. She delivers a second punch to my nose, and the hot sensation of blood dripping pulls me out of my momentary stupor. She's on her feet, standing over me now, when I reach out, grab her ankle, and drop her to the floor. She kicks me in the chest, sending me reeling backwards, and then scrambles away, hidden in the darkness of the room. Izzy! I cough. Fucking Declan was right. This chick is goddamned dangerous. Who are you? I look off to the left where the words come from, but I can't see shit. Special Agent Finn Murphy, I yell. And I'm gonna arrest you now for assaulting an officer. Fuck you, she yells. And now the voice is somewhere else. Damn, this little bitch is fast. This is not part of the game, and I'm 2 seconds away from taking you down for good if you don't unlock that door and... I'm on my feet, heading in the direction of where I think the door is, but I don't unlock it. I flick the light back on. She's perched on top of a bookcase, crouched down on hands and feet like a goddamned monkey ready to... Just as the thought forms in my head, she leaps, fucking knocks me down and chops my throat again. This time, I don't recover so fast. I can do nothing but roll over and wheeze as I try to draw in air. Stay down, Agent, she hisses, searching my pockets, then backing away. I don't answer. Can't answer. I don't know how long I stay there on hands and knees, my forehead pressed into the dirty wood floor as I try to remember what it's like to breathe, but it's a while. During the time, I'd like to say I got my act together, that I didn't just allow a woman who barely comes up to my shoulders to take me down in the span of 3 minutes. But I'd be lying. Because by the time I can breathe, she's got my hands zip-tied behind my back and she's sitting on top of me, pushing my face into the floor as she leans down into my ear to hiss, "You've got 10 seconds to start talking, asshole. Or I will knock you out, break a window, climb through it, steal your car, and leave you here to stew in your own stupidity until your friends come save you."
Chapter 9. Izzy.
I'm supposed to protect you, Izzy. I'm your goddamn bodyguard, he yells.
Well, it's not a yell because he can barely manage to get the words out. Bodyguard, I laugh, but get up off him and start pacing the room. You're obviously not my bodyguard because I neither asked for nor do I require a bodyguard.
I swear, he gasps, that raid was real. That terror threat was real.
Bullshit. I have nothing to do with that.
Right, Einstein, he chokes out a laugh. You were a setup. We explained this to you earlier.
You told me you were part of the game, I yell.
No,
he says, finally starting to breathe normal again.
You said I was part of this stupid sex game you're playing. I just went along.
Fucking liar! Caleb sent you, didn't he?
Who?
I kick him in the ribs, hard. Don't play stupid.
I swear. he says, rolling over a little so he can look up at me. My badge is in my front pocket. He nods his head towards his jacket, which I didn't search when I found the zip ties. Make one move and... I'm fucking zip-tied, Izzy. Don't be an asshole. Just get my badge. I'm telling the truth. I do a quick pat down on his coat pocket and... Fuck. I can feel what's probably a wallet. I pull it out and... Yep. One of those leather fold-over things that hold badges. Flipping it open reveals an ID, which does, in fact, confirm he's FBI. Shit, I say.
Shit is right. You're gonna be charged for this.
Shut up, I say, pacing. I need to think.
You're going down for assault with the intent to kill. They're gonna get you for evading arrest, kidnapping.
Kidnapping? I laugh. That's a good one.
You're holding me against my will.
I'm holding. You're holding me against my will, I yell back. I stop pacing. He stops struggling, and we both just take a breath. He stares up at me, craning his neck to try to make eye contact. I wait. Finally, he says,
Listen, I'm FBI. Whoever this Caleb person is, I'm not a part of that. Whatever this game is, I'm not a part of that either.
I don't know what to think, so I keep quiet.
Someone called into somewhere earlier today.
Somewhere? I ask, forcing a laugh as I try to calm down. What do you mean, somewhere?
I mean, the call was real. It came in. But beyond that, I don't know much. I wasn't really...
He sighs.
I wasn't really paying attention earlier today. I had shit on my mind, okay? So I'm not clear on the details, but however it happened that you got on our radar, that was real, Izzy. There was chatter.
What chatter? I'm really not doing well right now. My heart is skipping beats inside my chest. My breathing is picking up and starting to become erratic.
Look, he says, I'm not the best FBI agent, okay? The reason I'm in Denver was because I was demoted. I lost my father a few months back. I've been drinking too much, sleeping too little, and, yeah.
He lets out a breath that says all the things he couldn't. I think about that for a few seconds, but my mind is racing, and my heart is pounding, and my hands are shaking, and I hate this. I fucking hate this. I hate that I'm rattled. I hate that every fiber of my being is screaming, run. I don't run. I don't run. I don't run. I don't run.
Untie me, Izzy.
No. I say, swallowing down the fear. No, I'm leaving you here. I'll make an anonymous call telling people where you are and-
No, he yells. You can't leave.
I can leave, I laugh. I'm going to leave, so you better just come to terms with that, buddy. He rests his head on the floor, craning his neck to look at me. Then he laughs. What's so funny?
I mean that literally.
Meant what? I snap. I'm busy running probabilities in my head. Probabilities of getting out of this alive. What are my chances of survival right now?
You cannot leave here.
Watch me, I laugh.
Go ahead and try.
What?
The door is made of steel. It's on a digital lock, and you don't have the code to open it.
I can go through a window, genius.
Like I said, go ahead and try.
What the fuck? I walk over to the window, tear open the curtains, and see...
Reinforced security shutters, Izzy, on every single window. Also on a coded lock. This is a goddamned safe house, okay? No one can get in without blowing a hole in the wall. Which means no one can get out, either.
And if you've got some harebrained scheme for giving that a try, I'd like to take this opportunity to caution you against it. They will make you pay for damaging government property. So I hope you've got money stashed away for that. Because fucking up a Priority One safe house is gonna cost you dearly.
A sharp pain fills my chest, making me double over. My breathing is far, far beyond erratic now. I start to hyperventilate. My whole body begins to tremble. My knees buckle, and reality flickers. And before I know what's happening...
Chapter 10. Fen. She falls to the floor, like collapses into a heap. Her head misses the coffee table by mere inches. Izzy! I yell. Izzy! I struggle in the zip ties, but my hands are secured behind my back and I'm not in the right position to break out of them, so I don't bother. I'm a little more worried about her right now than myself. I wriggle across the floor until I am close enough to get a good look at her face. Izzy, I whisper, trying to see if she's breathing. Izzy, she moans. Thank fuck. Izzy, I say again. Can you hear me?
What?
I think you fainted, Izzy. Open your eyes. You're okay. Do you hear me? You're okay. You just fainted. You're fine. Just open your eyes. She shifts her body, turning over on her side. I can't see her face because it's covered by her long, dark hair. You're okay, I repeat. You're fine, all right? You just fainted. It's gonna pass. Just try to breathe and open your eyes. She does more than that, because suddenly she's up on her hands and knees, her whole body swaying. Don't get up, I say. Just be still, breathe, and open your eyes and look at me, Izzy. Do you hear me? Look at me. She collapses again. Her breathing is heavy, almost a pant, like she's having a panic attack or something.
What? What happened?
She mumbles. You fainted, that's all. No big deal, happens to everyone. It's gonna pass really quick, okay? You're fine.
My heart,
she moans. No, I say. It's a trick, I promise. Your heart is fine. Just breathe through your nose for a few minutes. It's a trick. You got overwhelmed and... Shut up! Her yell catches me off guard. So much so that I do. I shut up.
I don't need your help. I don't need your words. I don't need you to tell me when things are and are not okay. So shut the hell up.
There she is, I chuckle, relaxing my head on the floor again. She starts making mad grabs at her hair, pushing it away from her eyes. We're only inches apart, face to face, when her gaze finds mine. Her beautiful blue eyes look like shining sapphires right now.
I don't need your help.
Obviously, I say. But I feel better. Relieved. I mean, yeah, if she was really hurt and didn't wake up, I'd be stuck here trying to get myself free. And then with my luck, Declan would show up before I managed that, and... Yeah. The last thing I need is a rescue. But that's not why I'm relieved. She's okay. She just fainted. She got overwhelmed and scared, and who can blame her? It's been a pretty messed up night for her. You can untie me now, I say. No. She gets back on her hands and knees, her head hanging, her long hair brushing against the floor as she sways a little. And then she's on her feet, one hand covering her eyes, the other holding onto the back of the couch so she doesn't fall over again. I'm not going to hurt you. Her hand flies away from her face, and she spits. You can't hurt me. I know, I say, pulling every FBI trick out of my hat to keep her calm and see reason. I mean, I know that now. You're a pretty tough chick. Anyone ever tell you that before? She huffs air, stumbles across the room, hand outstretched, reaching for the small dinette table, and feels her way around until she's leaning on the formica kitchen counter in front of the sink. She turns on the tap, sticks her mouth into the flowing water, and drinks. Hey, I call. I could use a drink, too. She pulls back, wipes her hand across her mouth, little droplets of water spilling down her chin, and laughs. Do you keep whiskey here? My neck is tired. The muscles in my shoulders strained from lifting my head off the floor. Untie me and I'll look. She ignores that, just starts looking through cupboards, slapping them closed after looking through each one. Nothing, she says. Well, duh, I want to say. It's a safe house, not a bar. But we can go get a drink if you want. Talk this over, relax a little, and come up with a plan. I already have a plan, she says. You do? I laugh. What is it? She grabs at her hair, trying to straighten it out. Doesn't help, it's tragically disheveled. Beautifully unkempt. You're going to let me out of here. I'm going to take your car, and then we're never going to see each other again. Nope, I say. Not gonna happen that way. I'll hurt you, she says. No, you won't. This makes her laugh, but then she cuts it short and seethes. Underestimate me, Agent Murphy. I dare you. Look, I say. I can see that you're not happy with the arrangements we've made for you. Understatement. So let's just renegotiate, okay? You want to make it to that seminar tomorrow, right? She says nothing, just stares at me. We can do that. You untie me, we leave here, go back to your place, you grab a little sleep, and then I go with you to the seminar. I'll just pretend to be a student, and that way I can keep you safe and... She cuts me off. How many times do I need to tell you I don't need your protection? I get that, I say, trying to remain calm and reasonable. But the truth is my fucking neck is killing me. I'm pretty sure there's no circulation in my hands because the zip ties are too tight. My nose might be broken, there's blood all over my face, and she might have fucked up my jaw when she clocked me. So I'm really fucking sick of this shit. But I deal, because that's what I've been trained to do. I get that now, I amend. But it never hurts to have someone on your side, right? You're not on my side, she sneers. You lied to me. You lied to get me up here, and you fucked me. You fucked me back. And you kind of beat the shit out of me, so suck it up, Buttercup. We're in this thing together, whether you like it or not. Because this night, Izzy, this night isn't a game, okay? It's fucking real. I'm not after you, but people are after you. So put your big girl panties on and un-fucking-tie-me. I kind of lose it at the end, because un-fucking-tie-me comes out as a threat. But it works. At least it might be working, because she takes a deep breath, looks down at her shaking hands, and exhales a sigh of resignation.
Chapter 11. Izzy. I try to keep calm, run my options through my head. They fly by, like one of those old-time ticker tapes from the early 20th century that telegraphed important news to people before the internet made information ubiquitous. What the fuck is going on? There's no way they came looking for me. I've been too careful. I've been too clever. And, yeah, I have a decent business going with the whole go-fuck-yourself thing, but I'm not high-profile. I'm a big fish in a very small pond. I mean, I don't even advertise. My books sold a lot of copies, but I was never on talk shows and shit. So if that FBI raid wasn't part of the game, then who called that tip in? Izzy, Finn growls. I'm not going to ask you. You will ask me again if I feel like making you, okay? So just be quiet and let me get a handle on things. You can do that after you untie me. Because I'm telling you right now, if I have to break out of these myself, you're gonna regret it. You probably don't even know how to break out. You told me yourself. You're not the best FBI agent, right, Murphy?
I meant, he seethes, that I'm not on track for promotion, Izzy.